As most of you know, we have devoted several recent messages to studying the characters of 2 Chronicles, and in particular, we've been observing the life of King Asa of Judah, which is really a study of contrast, as we will see today, for he was a believer who began well, but ended poorly. And in this concluding study of King Asa, and before we go to 2 Chronicles, let me invite you to open your Bibles again to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. For those of you who are football fans, you know that the Minnesota Vikings play the Green Bay Packers today. If you've been part of Duluth Bible Church for any period of time, you probably also know that we have some serious fans who love the Vikings or love the Packers. I don't know personally anyone who loves them both. Now, as I said recently, it appears that Viking fans here have more spiritual maturity than do Packer fans. As we get over our losses and depression much faster than do Packer fans, because we're used to it. You know, it's like the Viking fan I asked the other day, "Hey, what time does the game start on Sunday?" And he said, 12 noon, and then he went on to add, "But it'll be over at 12:05. But those involved in sports, especially those with playoff systems in place, know that it's not merely a matter of starting the season well, it's also a matter of ending well. Or it's like watching a marathon. Imagine Grandma's marathon here in Duluth. A contestant may run a very fast 5 miles, but if he doesn't properly pace himself, he'll run out of gas and not end the race well. And the same concern is present when it comes to running the marathon of the Christian life. You know, some believers start well, but they end poorly. Some believers start poorly, but they end well. Some believers start poorly and end poorly. Some believers start well and end well. And then there are some believers who seem to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth multiple times throughout the course of their Christian lives. But as I emphasized last week at the beginning of our study, the heart of every issue is first of all the issue of the heart. And that is why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep or guard your heart with all diligence." Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart. You see, the true Christian life doesn't boil down to your words. It doesn't boil down even to your actions. It boils down to your heart. What are you thinking and choosing from day to day? Whether you're responding by faith to the Lord or you're reacting in your flesh. Whether you're walking by faith or you're walking by sight. Whether you're operating out of divine viewpoint or out of human viewpoint. Whether you're trusting the Lord or you're trusting men or yourself. And by the way, believer, each day is a new day to trust Jesus Christ step by step and moment by moment. Just like you trusted him at salvation to do for you what you could never do for yourself, as you believed that he died for your sins and rose again to provide salvation as a gift, which is received through simple childlike faith in him alone. So God wants us each day to duplicate that same attitude by saying, in essence, "I am not sufficient of myself to think anything is being from myself. My sufficiency is from God." And thus, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have underscored throughout this series, verse 6, and we will see it illustrated once again. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And there are a couple key words here I want you to emphasize. First is the word "seek." We're going to see that throughout our study in Asa. Seek. The other is the word faith. It's noun form or believe. It's verb form. But the value of one's faith always lies in its object. And faith in the Lord and faith in His word is never misplaced faith. Now, we recognize that one enters the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When one realizes the context of the gospel, that God is holy and man is a sinner and the penalty for sin is death. But then here's the content of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, God, who became a man, died for our sins, past, present, and future, was buried and rose again in order to provide salvation as a gift. That moment they put their faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, they're saved. They're born again. They're forgiven. And they enter the family of God. Their destiny is forever changed. From a hell they deserve to a heaven they don't. Eternal life, by its very definition, must go on forever. And once you become a child of your parent, you're always a child of your parent. The issue is, what kind of child are you? Are you one who's obedient or disobedient, one that's walking in fellowship with your parent or not? And the same is true once you become a child of God. And when a believer fails to now walk by faith like they were saved by faith, and they sin against the Lord, they break fellowship with the Lord. Now notice, this does not take us outside of the family of God, because we're His forever forgiven children. But it does break fellowship with the Lord. And just like we were saved by faith, not by something we did by way of religious rituals or works or getting baptized or going to church or giving money or giving our life to Christ or repenting of our sins or asking Jesus into our heart or whatever. No, we just had to put our faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. So in living the Christian life, it's not a matter, first of all, what we're doing, but a matter of who are we relying on from moment by moment. And we sin against the Lord. God wants us to be honest with Him and confess it. And by faith, believe He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we could then enjoy fellowship with the Lord as we again keep walking by faith. The key to fellowship isn't being the best confessor in town. The key to fellowship is learning to walk by faith and admitting when you're not. But when a believer is out of fellowship, they don't lose their salvation. They've lost their fellowship, and they can lose their joy, and they can lose their peace, and can lose their testimony, and they can lose their future reward, and so forth and so forth. But in that state of carnality, or as the Old Testament would call it, being backslidden, excuse me, this believer now searches for happiness out of the dead-end streets of life. They become aimless, or their objective in life now becomes that of the world or their flesh. Many times they live very phony Christian lives, or very self-righteous, and they're concerned maybe about their image, but there's a great difference between image and testimony. Image is, I'm concerned what people think of me. Testimony is, I'm concerned what they think about my Savior. Big difference. And if they remain out of fellowship with the Lord, they not only reap what they sow, and not only are they miserable, but God will divinely discipline them. And why does He discipline them? Because they reach points where they don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't care what the Lord thinks. I don't care about His fellowship. And God disciplines us so that we would begin to care again. Because the issue is one of the heart. And as a result, He wants us to care and respond to Him and be restored to fellowship with Him again. The prodigal son who went and lived in righteous living didn't care about fellowship with his father. And when he finally came to the end of himself, he began to care again. And you know, I watch believers walking in canals and say, when are they going to care? When are they going to respond? And boy, now they hit bottom, right? No, they went clear through. No, will you? You're in jail. Will you turn to the Lord now? Well, I don't know. What's it going to take? Now, I say this issue of the heart because that's exactly the bottom line issue in our life. It's an issue of the heart and the importance of faith in the Lord. And keep in mind that earlier in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews again warned, today, if you will hear his voice, what? Do not harden your hearts. We saw this last week. He went on to say, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of, what's the real issue? Unbelief. And when you quit walking by faith, you depart from the living God. He doesn't depart from you, as it were, but you depart from him. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And sin is deceitful. So verse 15, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, don't harden your heart. That means you have a choice. You can harden or not harden. Pharaoh had a choice as an unbeliever when he heard the word of God through Moses, let my people go. And he said, no! And he hardened his heart. Acts chapter 19, when Paul was preaching in the synagogue there, he was preaching and reasoning with them from the scriptures that Jesus Christ, Jesus was the Christ. And it says, and when some were hardened, he took the disciples and separated himself and went to the school of Tyrannus. How did they get hardened? They kept hearing the word of God and they said, no, we don't believe that. So some hardened and some softened, and he took the soft ones and went and kept teaching them the word of God, and he let the hard ones alone. That's what it was. Hard ones alone. And you see, in your heart today, are you soft or are you hard? You're here going through the motions, but if we could really see what was going on when you leave here, are you relating to the Lord? Are you responding to the Lord? Are you enjoying the Lord? Are you having fellowship with the Lord? And is that overflowing then in your relationships with others? Are you just playing church like some unbeliever today? You know, my church, my life at church before I got saved, was like a suit. I put it on at 9 and took it off at 10. There was no relationship with the Lord. It was just religion. And carnal believers, a lot of times, live that very way too. And they miss the faith rest life, Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel, the good news of rest, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because they had bad ears? No, because of their heart not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And you know, I am so thankful that every day as I face challenges and trials and tests just like you do, that God is saying the faith rest life's available today. Would you rest by faith in Jesus Christ? Would you rest in your position, reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to God and yield yourself to him? Would you walk now by faith in the power of the Spirit of God? Would you now walk by faith in the promises of the Word of God? And in doing so, God is pleased, for without faith it's impossible to please him. On the other hand, Romans 15:13 says, now may the